For many, many years, Mr. Rogers began his children's program by talking about what a great, beautiful day in the neighborhood it is. And at some point along the way, he would say, "Won't you be my neighbor?" Well, we all have them. Some are closer in proximity than others. Some we enjoy, some we wouldn't care if they weren't in our neighborhood anymore. Some are incredibly considerate, others see no reason why your yard shouldn't be their dogs and cats' latrine. We've all got them. The Bible talks a lot about being neighborly. And the book of Proverbs develops this subject fairly extensively. Multiple times this idea of being a good neighbor is addressed. And so that's what we're going to be looking at this morning as we consider, continue to look at different ones of the Proverbs. I want to begin by just, there's a basic attitude that God would have us embrace and live with that's brought out multiple places again, but I want to point your attention to chapter 11, verse 12, that says, "Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent." The easiest thing in the world when there is someone who is not behaving as we would like is to look for people to talk to them about. There's that human instinct to get other people on our side. And we're warned here, don't belittle, don't criticize verbally, don't talk down the people who are living around you. You lack sense, he says, if you do that. And then in chapter 14, in verse 21, he speaks to this again. Where he says, "Whoever despises his neighbor is a sinner, but blessed is he who is generous to the poor." The contrast that's being drawn here would lead you to think that despising might be for those who are not as economically impressive, who might not be in keeping things to our particular standard. But the application is broad. He doesn't want us despising the people that are around us. And so this all begins with a heart attitude that we are consistently warned about throughout Scripture. Jesus said, "You've got to guard your heart, for out of it proceed all the issues of life." And he never wants us harboring resentment. He never wants us holding these ill feelings in towards other people. He wants us to be honest, but he also wants us to be willing to surrender that up to him. And so this is the basic attitude that has to come behind all of this discussion about neighborliness. Guard your heart. So with that backdrop, I want to stop and pray before we go any further. Lord, already there have been faces, properties that have popped into our minds. And I'm asking that you would help us to see the big picture as we think about our conduct in this world, our behavior towards those who are in close proximity to us. And Lord, help us to be able to embrace the people around us as those like us who constantly need your grace. And so guide us in this discussion, I pray, and help us to come away with a better understanding, a deeper appreciation for you and how you treat people, and then with a conviction of how we are to treat others. And I ask this In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there's a lot of instruction in the book of Proverbs on how to be neighborly. And so we're going to look at six different do's and don'ts regarding neighborliness here that we see in the book of Proverbs. The first is, do be helpful. And I'd like you to go to chapter 3. Chapter 3, as we look at these things. And we'll notice verses 27 and 28. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come again. Tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. What the it is here that Solomon had in mind, we don't know. But he gives this understanding, be as helpful as you can. Whenever you can, as often as you can, try to be helpful. It's interesting to me, he talks here about to whom those it is due. And as we think through this, there are some instructions in Scripture that sometimes seem harsh, that we almost want to back away from. In the words of Paul, he said, if a man doesn't work, he doesn't need to eat. The one who will not take care of his own family is worse than an unbeliever. And this is, wow, that's a little harsh. But there's a principle at work here. Sometimes the word deserve, it wants to pop out of my mouth. And that's not the right word to use. And I don't want to use that. But there are times when helping is not the best thing. It's common in this day and age to talk about enabling and that sort of thing. But there is a time when we're not helping anymore, we're hurting. So, to those that it's due. So I think that there might be scenarios where if someone has borrowed from you constantly and they're borrowing stuff that they should return and they don't return it, there could come a point in time where you say, you know, I'm not going to do that anymore. They borrowed money, they won't pay it back. That's okay. We're not going to do this anymore. There might be those opportunities, but he says, whenever you can, be helpful. And then he lays out this scenario. Don't put people off. If you have the capacity, and again, whatever it is that Solomon's talking about here, we don't know, but if you owe somebody something, if you have not returned something that you've borrowed and they're asking for it, don't say, well, maybe tomorrow. You know, come back tomorrow. I'll give it to you tomorrow. If you've got it with you, then pay what you owe. Give what you owe. And this whole idea, don't keep putting people off. Be honest in it. I remember some years ago, I needed a chainsaw. I didn't have one, and I asked a friend if I could borrow his chainsaw, and he said, you know, I'm sorry, I just don't loan out my chainsaws. And that was fine. He was up front with it. I said, that's fine. I get it. They're expensive. But be honest. Don't just put people off. Be as helpful as you can, as often as you can, genuinely helpful. There was a guy walking down the street, and he saw a man struggling with a washing machine in his doorway. And so he ran over to help. And they worked on this for 30 minutes. And finally, the guy that was helping said, I don't think we're ever going to get this thing in. And the homeowner said, in? I'm trying to get it out. So be genuinely helpful. Genuinely helpful. So be helpful. Don't be hurtful. In verse 29 of chapter 3, it says, do not plan evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. You know, there are people that are just clueless. I mean, they honestly are. If they have a barking dog, this is one of my irritations, all right? That's going to come out several times today. If they have a barking dog, they're probably tuned out to it. And you're laying there angry and saying, what can I do? I'm going to get a recording machine that barks loudly and deeply. I'm going to show them. Don't waste your energy on stuff like that. Don't plan evil against your neighbor who's just kind of living life. Now, there's times to address things, but he's, again, guard your heart in this. Chapter 11 in verse 9, a similar reference, says, with his mouth the godless man would destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge the righteous are delivered. And so again, to be critical and demeaning and talking to everybody else about this lousy neighbor that I have, and we can destroy them with our mouth. And he's saying, don't do that. Don't be hurtful. There's a right way and there's a wrong way to go about correcting issues. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. But don't be hurtful to people. And our speech can be so awfully hurtful. Number three, do be honest. Be honest. Be a person of integrity. In chapter 22, in verse 28, this is just kind of, well, this is very proverbial here, just a lot of different topics being addressed. But he says in 22:28, do not move the ancient landmark that your fathers have set. That's it. Do not move the ancient landmark. Now, in those days, they didn't have sophisticated surveying equipment. The borders might have been a little bit iffy and not quite precise. So they might set a rock out here and say, okay, this is what my dad said was the property line. Just have this rock out here marking the border. He's saying, don't be going out there at night and kind of nudging that rock over to claim a little bit more property. You know, a few inches here, a few inches there, you can actually gain some ground. Don't do that. That's deceitful. That's not honest. That is not being a person of integrity. And there's a lot of things that come up with our neighborliness. I've heard it. I've heard stories told of people that'll put in a fence and just fudge a little bit on the property line, moving it over just a little bit more. Don't do that. You don't need to do that. All of your stuff is God's, and he will take care of you. So just don't abuse that. Be honest in all of your dealings. If it's your tree that fell over into their yard, then clean it up. You know, that just be honest. Be a person of integrity. Do be honest. Don't be vengeful. You're used to me saying some of these things are going to overlap. Well, they do. That's just the nature of Proverbs. They kind of overlap. But don't be vengeful as you approach people. Chapter 24 brings this out really clearly. Verses 28 and 29. Do not be a witness against your neighbor without cause, and do not deceive with your lips. Do not say, I will do to him as he has done to me. I will pay the man back for what he has done. Such an empty, dead-end street to go down this road of, I'm going to show you. I'm going to get you back. And all of that can consume us. Don't be vengeful. again, don't be quick to be running to everybody else and say, what a cruddy place those people have. You see that? Doesn't that irritate you? And we can go on and on and on with that kind of demeaning stuff. Do not be vengeful. Don't pay them back so they're not careful, so their stuff blows over into your yard. Don't then dump stuff over into their yard. You know, there's just so many childish ways that we want to show people what's what. I'm going to give you a taste of your own medicine. Just don't. Don't. You've got to be bigger than that. God expects more of you. Christ expects more of you than that. So don't be vengeful. You know, if your neighbor leaves a sack of zucchini on your front step, don't then take two sacks over to theirs. You know, just don't be vengeful, all right? Do handle differences correctly. Chapter 25, verses 8 through 10. Now forget about the zucchini, okay? Got to move on. Chapter 25, verses 8 through 10. Do not hastily go into court, for what will you do in the end when your neighbor puts you to shame? Argue your case with your neighbor himself. Do not reveal another's secret, lest he who hears you bring shame upon you and your ill repute have no end. You know, we live in a day and age and a culture where it seems like lawsuit is the first or second thing out of people's mouths. We're going to litigate this. And he said, don't. To begin with, what if the court system is not sympathetic to you when they don't see things your way? And then who's going to be embarrassed? Then whose reputation is going to be hurt? But he says here, argue your case with your neighbor himself. Now, very few people like confrontation. And so the easy thing to do is call our code enforcement or call a police officer to have them come and do their thing. But he's saying, don't do that. Talk to them. Now, there's times things get carried away and you've got to take action, but make an effort to resolve this thing. Many times people don't understand that they're being problematic with you. Handle your case with your neighbor himself. Don't bring others into it. That shouldn't be the first instinct here. A few years ago, we bought an old camper, and it was going to need some work. I knew that, but turned out needed a lot of work, and I was basically rebuilding it. And I didn't know anything about codes that Alliance might have, about how long you can have a trailer sitting or whatever. And I had it out in front of our house for a long time. When I had time, I was working on it, that kind of a thing. Well, one day, one of our finest in blue comes to the door, knocks on the door, and kind of sheepishly says, you got to move that camper. Somebody complained about it. And my first instinct, what? Who? Well, they wouldn't say. Why? What? Who cares? I'm saying, why didn't they come and just talk about it? You know, why do you go to the police? I don't know who complained about it, but it doesn't matter. But I'm thinking, come on, let's handle this like adults. And this is what Solomon's saying. Just handle your differences correctly. There's a right way and a wrong way of going about it. Take the high road. As uncomfortable as it may be, always take the high road. And then the final one that I'll mention here is do be considerate. Do be considerate. It's chapter 25 that I got the wrong reference up there. Chapter 25 and verse 17. It's one of those kind of descriptive little proverbs here. 25 verse 17. So let your foot be seldom in your neighbor's house, lest he have his fill of you and come to hate you. All right, so our expression, wearing out your welcome, comes out of this proverb, you know. So you just got to be considerate. You know, there's too much of a good thing sometimes. Just really be considerate. We talked some weeks ago about the proverb where if a friend comes by and in the middle of the night and is waking you up with a compliment, it really stops being a compliment. If you're trying to sleep, it's 3:30 in the morning or whatever, and they come along and say, love what you've done with the place. Your flowers look great, and wake you up. It becomes a curse instead of a blessing. All right, so it's be considerate. One place, when we lived in South Dakota years and years ago, there was an older gentleman. He'd been single his whole life. Very, very social guy, and he kind of had the rounds that he would make. But he wouldn't knock. He would just walk in. He really felt to home, you know, and he'd just walk in. And it really got to where it wasn't that much of a blessing, you know. And this was in a very rural area where, again, the only time people locked their houses or cars was during zucchini season. But there I go again. I got a thing about zucchini, don't I? Anyway, don't overstay your welcome. Don't just be considerate. You've got to be considerate in your dealings with people. The golden rule really, really kicks in here. You treat others like you want to be treated yourself. And so they've driven on your property. Don't drive on theirs. So they're careless with their trash. They don't keep their yard, whatever. Don't pay back. Just be very, very considerate. Also, during that time in South Dakota, we'd lived in the country and really weren't, you know, synced in to keeping a town lawn and all this kind of stuff. And one day, a neighbor came and said, would you care if I sprayed this piece of property here? It was just covered with dandelions. And once, you know, came to me, his yard, he kept pretty weed free. You care if I spray this and get rid of these dandelions? I felt terrible. But it was a lifelong lesson. Listen, take care of your stuff. It's a considerate thing to do. And so always in all of this, just be considerate. And so this is some of what we're told in Proverbs about being neighborly. Be helpful. Don't be hurtful. Be honest. Don't be vengeful. Do handle your differences correctly and do be considerate. Now, at this point, we're saying to ourselves, yeah, but you don't know my neighbor. And we get into this thing like Peter addressed Jesus and said, well, how often do I forgive? 7? That's good, huh? Yeah, maybe not so much. And we can become like the guy that Jesus had said, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, who's my neighbor? You know, that's where we can kind of go at times like this. So why should we be neighborly? Well, there's a couple of very good reasons that I would just suggest to you. The first being, consider how God has treated us. He loved us because we were so loving and lovable, right? He loved us because we were such good neighbors. No, it was while we were still sinners that Christ died for us. It's while we were enemies, it says, with God, that he sent his son into the world to take care of that sin problem that separates us. How has God treated us? His overwhelming kindness and grace and mercy and love. And how dare we then think that we can treat our fellow man badly because they treat us badly? And then I would just suggest to you, remember why we exist. We exist from the smallest thing in our lives to the biggest, till we live for the glory of God. We live so that He can be seen and radiated out through us, so that everything we do, every breath we take, helps people to know how great and how awesome and how good the Heavenly Father is. That's why we exist. And so that's why we should be neighborly. Now, how far do we go with this? What is the extent of our neighborliness? Well, again, that parable that Jesus told, when the self-righteous guy says, well, who's my neighbor? Well, let me tell you about a guy that was on a journey, and he was attacked, and he was beaten, and he was robbed, and he was left for dead, and there were some that just went by him. But there was one total stranger who stopped and helped him and ministered to him, and a guy who could never pay him back took care of him. So the lesson comes out to us: our neighbor is whoever we see, whoever needs assistance. And in all honesty, that's the way the word neighbor is used, even in the book of Proverbs. It's not talking only about those who live in close proximity to us, across the street, or their land borders ours, or people down the road. It's just people. It's the people that you're in contact with right here in this room this morning. It's the people that you meet on the street, the people that you work with. It's the people, yes, that live next door to us. And so we're to extend and attempt to be a good neighbor. Now, there's a lot of practical ways for us to be good neighbors. You know, you take care of your lawn. Take care of your pets. Keep your music at a reasonable level. Smile. Make eye contact. Wave. Maybe you want to host a block party sometime to build relationships within your community. But the top reason of all is that we need to represent Jesus well. And in His grace, He's given us so many opportunities. And being a good neighbor might just give you the platform to share about the hope that is found in Jesus. That He is a graceful God who loved us so much to give His one and only Son so that you and I can be spared an eternal separation from Him. And we might have the opportunity to share that by being a good neighbor. Who knows? He does all kinds of good things. So being neighborly, it is to this that we are called, and to this we must be committed. So be a good neighbor. Lord Jesus, thank You for reaching out to us when we wanted nothing to do with You. We were the worst sort when it came to being neighbors. And even though we have, as humanity, routinely spit in Your face, You continue to reach out. Would You help us remember that in the relationships, no matter how casual they are, that we have in our everyday lives? Lord, help us to be good neighbors, and in doing so, show how good and gracious You are. I pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus, for His glory. Amen.